Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So I wanted to start with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, talking about beginnings. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God had a plan. Before anything was seen in existence, God had a vision of what he wanted to see come into reality. God had a large expectation. It was something that had never been seen or never been done before. At this verse, at the very beginning, it defines an outcome. It tells me that this is a God of vision, a God of dreams. We serve a God of creativity, of hope and faith. And we serve a God that in everything and anything has a plan and a purpose. So this in turn means I have a plan and a purpose, that I was thought about, that I was envisioned at the very beginning before anything was spoken out. That means I have a hope that God had an expectation of what he wanted to see, because at the very beginning of the Bible, God casts out vision. If you're taking notes, point number one is define vision for your life. So vision is the enlarging of expectation of something you want to see in the future. So vision is the enlarging expectation of something you want to see in the future. See, vision is a seeing word. It's also being described as a clear and compelling God-given picture for your future. See, vision suggests that something needed to change, and it defines that something will change. So vision suggests that something needed to change and something will change. It tells me that in order to enlarge my expectation, that I need to define what I want to see in my future. See, vision answers the question of what you want to see come into existence. It defines the desired outcome. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't necessarily go into every single intricate detail, but he just defined the desired outcome. He defined it and he had expectation in it. You know, it didn't give any space to the past, didn't give any space to where there was lack. It didn't give any space to what wasn't there. It just defined what was going to be there. So in the beginning, in the past, there was emptiness, there was void, but God defined vision for the future. And you know, I don't know what your past is. I don't know what your previous year has been, but I do know that your past doesn't define you. I do know that where you've come from doesn't mean to say that that's where you're going in the future. See, Jeremiah chapter 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. These are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. These are plans to give you a future and a hope." This is God saying to his people that right at the very beginning, I already had a plan for you. There's already a purpose for you. There's already a vision for your life. See, in order to enlarge our expectation in a God with no limitations, we need to define the vision that God already has planned for us. There was depression, but you're enlarging your expectation in a God with a vision of freedom. There was anxiety, but you're enlarging your expectation in a God seeing hope and peace. There was relationship hardship or breakdown, but you're enlarging your expectation with a vision of restoration. There was missed business opportunities, but you're enlarging your expectation that God will bring more than you could ever imagine or dream about. There was financial struggle, but you are enlarging your expectation in a God with no limitations and defining the vision of being blessed, not only for yourself and for your family, but so that you can bless others and bring glory to God's name. Why don't we give him a hand of praise? So what is it in your life that you need to define God's vision for your future? Because we serve a God of enlarging expectation, and we serve a God of no limitations. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. See, when we're talking about enlarging expectation and having vision, we need to have faith. See, this verse tells me that the Holy Spirit was watching and waiting in expectation of what God was going to do, what he was going to bring to life. That even though the current circumstance was dead, it was empty, there was no life, Holy Spirit had faith that God was going to use him to fulfill the vision. So enlarging expectation after vision, we need to have faith. So point number two, if you're taking notes, is faith. See, faith opens our eyes to the potential and allows us to things that things happening that you deemed impossible. See, faith is surrounded by factual uncertainty. Faith is surrounded by factual uncertainty. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 tells us that faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. See, even though the evidence or the conviction of your reality is not divinely guaranteed, faith expects from God what is beyond expectation. So even though your current circumstance, your current conviction, the evidence of your reality is not what God has planned for you right now, faith expects from God what is beyond expectation. See, faith allows us to enlarge our expectations rather than withhold due to fear or uncertainty. It changes the way we view ourselves and our lives. See, faith allows us to see ourselves in relation to the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, because when we lose ourselves in the greatness and awesomeness of God and we discover who we really are, our purpose in life, and who God wants us to be. But until we have faith in God, our power is limited. So until we have faith in God, his power is limited. And that's because we reduce our expectation to the size that we can handle, not the size that he can handle. See, God is waiting for us to enlarge our expectation with faith in a God of no limitations. See, Holy Spirit is here today. You know, he is watching and he is waiting for a little bit of faith. He wants to give life to those dreams of the future that you had written off. He wants to give life and hope to those who need healing in their minds and bodies. He wants to take the darkness of depression, the trap of anxiety, and complete you with wholeness and freedom. He wants to give strength to those who are weary. I know I can need that. I know I need a bit of that quite often. I'm a mum, you know, that runs a business, and I have three young children, and I need faith that God is going to give me strength when I'm weary. He wants greater opportunity and prosperity for those who are in business. God wants you to do well. God wants you to be prosperous, and he wants to give favor to those in the workplace or at school. Whatever is dark, empty, or has no life in your situation right now, God is waiting to enlarge our expectations with faith in a God of no limitations. He's just waiting for our faith so that he can move and create something new or bring something to life in your circumstances that need to change right now. So just, you know, high five the person beside you and say, this is awesome. Woo! Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, in order to enlarge our expectation and enter into the life that God has for us, you know, it happens when we define vision for our future and have faith in a powerful God, but we also need to speak out God's word. So point number three, if you're taking notes, is speak out God's word. Prophesy to yourself. If you're new here, all that means is start speaking into existence what you want to see happen. You know, words have so much power. They can bring life. They can bring healing. They can bring confidence. They can bring encouragement. They can bring restoration. But, you know, words can also bring disappointment, resentment, death, not only your words, maybe words that were spoken over you. So there is power in the words that we speak. See, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. So that tells me that there is power in aligning my words with God's word. Because when God speaks, there is life. There is power that comes from centering my life around on God's word. Because God's word is life. You know, we need to speak out words that line up with what we want to see come into existence. And, you know, what we believe determines the outcomes of our lives. And our belief system is the very core of our words and actions. However, what often tends to happen is what we believe or what we choose to believe is not truth, and it's not God's truth. But, you know, you can change what goes on in your mind, and we can change our actions by changing the words that we speak. So out of our belief system is what comes out of our mouths. But we can change our belief system by changing what we speak. You know, the pain of the past, its pull is often to conform the present to your past. So the pain of your past, either things that have happened to you, either bad choices that you've made, either things that have been spoke open to you, over you, just disappointment, letdowns, its pull is to conform the present to your past. But Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." For the natural human brain, the things we choose to hold on to from yesterday influence our mind. They influence our words that we speak today, and it can also influence our circumstances. But God's word transforms and renews our mind. God's word transforms and renews our mind. Speaking out God's word, speaking out God's truth, propels us forward. His word begins the process of transformation into the person that he's calling us to become. You know, about 3 years ago, Jonathan and I, we found out we were pregnant with our third child. And for those of you who don't know me, my other two pregnancies, I had really hard pregnancies. I get very ill, and then there's always complications with my body, and there's always worry about affecting the baby. So when we found out that I was pregnant with my third child, you know, my husband was very excited. And then the next words that he said was, "You know, Kim, I just believe that this time your body's going to be whole, that this time your body's going to be well, that this time, you know, we're going to get through this pregnancy and it's going to be supernatural, that we're going to see, there's going to be all glory to God about how, you know, these were the two things that happened in the past, but this time this is what's happening for the future." And, you know, we kept claiming those words and claiming scripture, but as the weeks went on, I got sicker and sicker and a lot worse than the pregnancies before. And as more time went on, my body started to have more complications, and we still continue to speak out. I have to be honest, I was so sick and I was very malnourished and I wasn't sleeping just from being so sick and complications that I had stopped speaking those words. My mind couldn't even comprehend words of healing, words of positivity. I knew that God had spoken to me when I was about 9 weeks pregnant and said, "I'm going to heal you." And the longer that the time went on and the sicker that I got and the worse that I got, I started to doubt what I'd heard. But, you know, Jonathan continued to speak over these words of hope and of healing. And, you know, by the end of the pregnancy, my youngest daughter, Vienna, was born. But over that time, I had started struggling so bad with anxiety that it was absolutely consuming my mind and my body. But once the baby was born, I think myself and my family were just expecting that now that the baby was born, I wasn't sick anymore, that everything was going to be okay. But it actually got worse. And I think I was almost 6 weeks pregnant. My daughter was 6 weeks old, and I went to my mother-in-law and I said, "I'm not well. I'm just letting you know that there's something not right up in here. I'm okay, but I'm letting you know that I think my mind is broken. And, you know, I have great people around me and I was seeing a doctor, and but it continued to get worse. I felt like I was waking up and walking day in and day out in this black cloud, and the physical compression on my chest was just more than I could bear. And I tell you that the words that were going in my head and my belief system was anger. I was hurt. I was disappointed. Where was God? I've been faithfully serving you. I've been believing you. Where are you? I started to have resentment towards my husband because he wanted a big family, and I was like, how could you do this to me? And look, you know, I do know how children happen, all right? I do know that two people have to be involved. So, well aware. It may have taken me 3 times, but well aware now. But, you know, I remember, I think Vienna was about 3 months old, and I got up one morning and I said to Jonathan, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. And he's like, what do you mean you're done? And I said, you know, I've just woken up and I don't think I wanted to be married. I don't think I wanted to have children. And, you know, like, fully still in love with him, fully loving my kids. But I said, look, my mind is broken. I have to go. And he said, go where? And I said, you know, I'm just going to leave and go back to New Zealand. Like, I need to start afresh. Like, I'm gone. Like, I can't do this anymore. And, you know, in that moment, he just said to me, he said, you know, give me 3 weeks. Let's just pray about it. 3 weeks. If you still feel the same, you know, we can go see someone about it. And, you know, I don't know what it was. I can't tell you the epiphany that happened. But one morning I got up and I just thought, you know, I just got to start reading my Bible and I got to start speaking out God's word. And, you know, when I started reading my Bible, I full faith in God, but I tell you, I looked at that Bible and it was like I was reading French. None of those words made sense to me. And, you know, everything that I started claiming of things like, by his stripes I am healed. I have the mind of Christ. That he hears the cry of the righteous, that he turns his ears to those who are hurting, that he lifts up those who are weak, that he's the refuge to those who are weary. And you know what? I wrote these all over my double mirrored wall. I even wrote things like, I am a mum who stays. I love Jonathan and Jonathan loves me. I love my children. And I even spoke out things I didn't believe about myself. I am a godly leader. God has called me to a plan and a purpose. And you know, I'd love to tell you that after 1 week, my belief system never changed, that I was healed, I was whole. But you know, I had to speak those things multiple times a day, day in, day out. And you know, it was probably over a year that it took for me to get through that anxiety. And you know, it's just so much power in speaking God's word, because when we align our words with God's truth, even though it may not be our current situation, when we enlarge our expectation in a big God, he is the one who is able to do exceedingly above and beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine. So, you know, let's start aligning our words with what God's word says. Let's start enlarging our expectation in a God of no limitations. You know, this just takes me to my last and final point of Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. I love this. It said, God saw the light and it was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. You know, God's expectation is that he wants us to live and walk in close relationship with him. His desire is for us to win in life. And this is why I don't preach off an iPad. So his desire is for us to win in life. You know, he's already set a life of goodness, because God is good. He sees good. He does good. He only creates good. And, you know, in this verse it says that he separated the light from the darkness, that he took what was already planned, that was what was already perfect, what was already righteous, what was already justified, what was already healed, what was already whole. It was good. And you know what? He separated it from the darkness. He separated it from disappointment. He separated it from those negative things that were spoken over your life. He separated it from that hurt. He separated it from all that was holding you back. And you know, he did this by going to the cross. From the very beginning, he had a plan that Jesus was going to go to the cross, that he was going to die for your sins, that he was going to completely separate all that was bad, and that raised with him as all that was perfect, complete, whole, healed. And you know, sometimes when we talk about enlarging our expectation, when we talk about seeing what God has, having a vision for our future, sometimes it takes a physical step in order to see something move in the supernatural. And so, you know, just in a moment, we're going to open up the altar, because sometimes we need to start that year going, you know what, God, you've already separated the bad from the good. You've already separated the darkness from a light, but I'm just standing here because I'm going to start believing for a large expectation. That I'm standing here because I know you have a vision and a future for my life. That I'm standing here and here's my faith. Here's my faith. It might only be a little bit, but here's my faith. And you know what? Even though my current situation says that I'm not worthy, even though that my current situation says this is never going to happen, even that my current situation has emptiness and void, I'm just going to speak out your truth, that you will heal my body, that you will heal my mind, that you will bring me great dreams and visions, that you will bring opportunities for my business, that you will bring favor on my workplace, that you will bring restoration in my relationship.
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.